Welcome to the DSmith.org podcast for Monday, September 4th, 2006. A method of improving the repeatability of air discharges at 8 kilovolts and higher. Discussion of my technical tidbit this month. I'm Doug Smith. I've re-recorded and remixed this podcast to update it to add some new information and also another use for this filtered contact discharge that I'm going to discuss. Quite different than what was in the original podcast. In that podcast, I noticed in listening to it that a little carried away. I mentioned in there that the spike of a contact discharge can never happen in an air discharge. It turns out, although it's unlikely in the cases I'm thinking of, it can happen. So I need to soften that a little bit. I should learn never to use the word never. But and I'm also going to put some more references in here, a little more information, and some more troubleshooting information in this new mix. There's been a lot of talk and pressure, in fact, over the last few years about applying IEC 61000-4-2. That's the international specification for ESD testing of systems, to apply that to devices. An example would be, especially an example, are devices that are handled by people, such as flash memory cards, but devices of all kinds, even devices that are built into circuit boards. To apply that system level spec to devices, and there's a lot of problems with that. For one, there's no guidance in the standards about how you apply it to device. In addition to the problem of applying a system level spec to a device, we have the problem that, of course, all the discharges to the device will be in air, and the characteristics of an air discharge can be quite different than that of a contact discharge, especially for the cases that I'm thinking of. In my technical tidbit article, I reference a paper by David Pomeranke where the important characteristics of an ESD event have to do with arc length. The longer the arc length, the slower the waveform in general. So in my example of handling a small, say, a flash memory card, generally when you insert something like that, you insert it slowly and carefully into its socket. You don't do it quickly. And a slow approach tends to give a longer arc length and a slower rise time. And a number of other characteristics about that kind of an operation do the same. So if we were to look at air discharge waveforms, and I've looked at quite a few of them, in general what you see is a very slow waveform at the higher voltages, nanoseconds and even tens of nanoseconds. Every once in a while, you can get a fast waveform with a spike in the front, just like the contact discharge and the IEC. And if you just take the gun in the air mode and just discharge multiple times to a ground plane through a current probe, you will see generally a lot of slow waveforms, once in a great while a fast one, and once in a great while maybe one in 10 or 20, and then for the slow approach speeds of the device that I'm thinking of, the probability would be less than that in general. But it depends on a lot of things, but the vast majority of the waveforms are going to be slow ones. One way to simulate a slow waveform like that would be to take a contact discharge and filter it. So the question is, how would I do that? First, I would use a free space capacitor. That's simply a piece of metal with enough surface area to give me enough capacitance, free space capacitance, to filter out the spike at the front of the waveform. And in this case, a piece of metal about the size of a compact disc slid over the front of the ESD gun and snapped into place would do it. In my experiments, I used a piece of aluminum foil just because it was quick to set up, but that wouldn't really work well in real testing because the aluminum foil doesn't hold its own shape. In addition, we want to control the waveform a little better, so I used a piece of ferrite with two turns in order to slow the wavefront down a little bit more. And the combination of these two gives me a 5 nanosecond rise time but doesn't touch the rest of the waveform. The bulk waveform after that looks just the same as the air discharge would have looked for an average, except that everyone's repeatable now. So we end up with a waveform that looks a lot like an average air discharge but is repeatable from discharge to discharge. And now we can go ahead and apply this to the device in some repeatable fashion. So just a thought, and I'd like to hear some feedback on what other people think of this idea. By the way, you could, in fact, take this piece of metal and bend it around the front of the ESD simulator so as to get it out of the way, and that would probably change the amount of metal you would use a little bit. you can almost imagine things like metallizing the inside of the case of the ESD gun if it were plastic, something like that. Or probably better if something would snap on the end of the gun and maybe it would bend back around it to, as opposed to sticking out like a flat piece of metal. There's another use for filtering the waveform, quite different than trying to do a device test, and that is troubleshooting. I apply a contact discharge to a system as it's supposed to be applied, and I get a response that I don't want, either locks up or soft or maybe even a hard error. I might be interested as to, is it the fast part of the waveform or the slow part of the waveform that's causing the problem? Is that fast current spike up front, or is it all that energy in the body wave that follows? Well, one way to do that is to filter out the spike and apply just the body wave using this technique we've discussed and see whether that makes a difference. The opposite of that would be to filter out the body wave using a series capacitance, and I think my technical tidbit next month is going to describe how to do that. So we would just leave the spike. That would be a high-pass filter, where what we've been talking to up to now would be a low-pass filter. So we can do quite a bit by filtering this waveform in terms of troubleshooting, which has nothing to do with this business of device testing, and I think that could be quite useful. So again, thanks for listening, and send any comments or suggestions to me at Doug at dsmith.org. Thanks.